Let's do this again. Hey, we got Rick Reinerson all on the line. He's waiting, but we've got Andy in Texas. He dialed in. I'm going to close the phone lines at this time, but I want to hear what Andy has to say. What's going on, Andy?
Well, hey, you know, you were talking about some solutions or whatnot. I think a very good solution is to use what the Constitution provides for us, and we do a very, you know, productively. We start off with protests and whatnot. Now, that's going to be very hard because there's a lot of people sucking on the government tit right now that are, you know, appeased and not upset, but and that explains the almost 100 million people out of work that can't find work and have given up. So they gave up for a reason. They're not all living in their basements of their moms or grandmas, not all moving in. Somehow they're getting some government tit and they're surviving. So we do have to arouse these people, but we have to rally. We have to go all around the country. We have to get outraged all around the country. We have to storm that. We have to do that because that's the first step. And then I'm with your last caller. When that happens, then we have to finally result to taking our country back the way the Founding Fathers took and created this country. But on the same token, the last caller said, well, we don't have Air Force and we don't have tanks and whatnot. We do in a lot of respects because the military is quite wide awake. You think these guys are just all, I want to go over and kill somebody mode? No, they don't. None of these guys want to go over there, and most of them are afraid as hell when they get there. You know, and they turn into these machines. We hear about some of these guys that turn into these killing machines. Well, fine and dandy, but that's not everybody. So we've got plenty of opportunity here to actually turn this thing around if we choose to do so, and we can rally some people to do it. And there are millions currently right now that are quite wide awake and willing to do what they have to do. And that includes some militias that have not been infiltrated by the FBI. So having said that, that's really what I wanted to say. There is a solution there. We just have to take advantage of it.
Hey, I really appreciate your call, man. Yeah, there's a lot there, a lot what you just said. I hope it never does come down to we have to take everything back by force, right? I'm looking for a different solution. But, yeah, I appreciate your call. Hey, let me just quickly jump to Rick and see if you're on the line. Hey, you there, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm here.
Hey, good deal. Hey, we've kind of gone over a whole bunch of different subjects. And, you know, I know you just heard Andy from Texas. He was talking a little bit about, you know, restoring the republic and so forth. I wanted to talk to you about... Well, hell, just wanted to talk to you, right? It's been years since we've actually got on the radio and spoke about things. And I originally met you over in 2012 when the filming the police was, well, just coming into public the public thought frame. I don't know. Is there a direction you want to go today? Because I have a couple we can go down.
Yeah, man. You lead, I'll follow.
Okay. So in 2012, you know, you were sitting there and actually Veterans Against Police Abuse came into being somewhere in 2009, if my memory serves me correctly. And then 2012, we have this, this police stop that happened on New Year's Eve on 2014, 2015. A guy named Anthony Beeler, he witnessed a stop where the cops were being, you know, really aggravating against the driver, and he filmed it. Well, here you go, cuff and stuff, and then Beeler, he ends up going to jail, but somebody filmed that, and, well, that started this thing called the Peaceful Streets Movement, and then I heard about you guys when I went to the Peaceful Streets first Police Accountability Summit, you know, and you were there, and we were both there early in the morning. We were setting up chairs and doing stuff like that. Then I saw that, well, you were pretty serious about, protecting your rights. You know, you had your Mitsubishi with cameras and microphones, and that was your protection. People never really thought about protecting themselves like that, but now you can walk into Walmart and get a camera for your rear. We've got cameras on all our smartphones, and everybody's got data, and it's normal. One of the problems that I saw early on, Rick, was the fact mm-hmm. that we really only filmed the bad interactions with the police, and that that was going to become an amplification that wasn't, what's the word, balanced, you know? And so we're not showing the good, you know, and we're just saying bad cop, bad cop, bad cop. And so it's an echo chamber. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I think you nailed something that is really true, which is, you know, a video that shows a cop being professional and doing their job properly is worth more than 1,000 bad cop videos. You know, it's one thing to be able to show all these bad interactions that happen, but it's also really important to show and to praise and to show that it's possible to have good cops that are doing the job properly, which does happen, of course. And you're right, I think there's kind of a media bias, not as salacious. And then there might be, you know, some motives from different organizations not to share that kind of stuff. But it seems to me that people, even in the police accountability movement, love to see video of a cop doing it correctly. And so you see some videos that are out there where a police officer, you know, obeys the Constitution and upholds a person's rights during an interaction. And I think those videos are very important. Because, you know, we want a role model, you know, we want police officers that are on the line or, you know, that want to do the right thing. They're in a challenging, position, I think, in a lot of police departments, because I think the culture is very challenging on a liberty front. And for us to be able to show and praise a police officer who does it right, I think that's useful to let those police officers know that we support them.
Right. But here's the thing. You get shot, you know, with a bunch of donuts and a car full of your kids and on your birthday, and the video will go viral if you die, right? You know, it's like, oh, my God. And you get a video of a cop saying, hey, I just wanted to let you know your taillight's out. You might get a view from your friends or your family, right, because it's all the drama thing. You got to go back down to CNN, right? They run the Trump story because, well, it's popular. It pays the bills, you know. And that's the same with YouTube and popular videos. And what you're telling me about the police accountability movement loving to see cops behave correctly, they might be some of the only people to actually watch those videos because they want to know that they're making a difference. And let's go to Doc real quick. What do you think about give me your views on the police.
Well, I'm fortunate because I have a bunch of friends that are police in every imaginable position. So I've got to see their views, and all of them are over 50 now, and they're all fed up because, as Carl Pittman said, it's not a matter of good people and bad people. He said we're teaching them that they have to swear an oath to the Constitution, but we're not teaching the Constitution. And so Carl said that was the main problem, and that if they could teach them that the statutes that they're enforcing are violating the Constitution, and they started going by the Constitution, probably a lot of them would be out of a job today. So to me, any job is important, and if you do a good job in anything, whether you're a police officer or a plumber, people will talk and they'll say good things about you. We have an entire new system today with things like Angie's List and all this stuff when you're good at whatever you do and you have good reports. So people will talk good about the good cops. Unfortunately, a lot of this bad stuff, I think, is because some guys have been trained wrong and they really think they have power over some of the people. And maybe just reteaching the Constitution would help a lot of this. We're building a bad foundation, and then we're wondering why the building falls down.
I'd say they do have power over people. They have the gun. But we'll go back to Rick, but I'm going to have Alan respond to what Doc just said. What do you think, Alan?
So we are supposed to thank them, and you're doing a great job for stopping us and extorting money from us and not killing us. That's doing a good job. And, Doc, I'm sorry to say, but it comes back to what they're being taught. You have Jenny Primakoff and Marcus Wolf brought in as advisors to advise and train Department of Homeland Security, continuity of government personnel, and what could they be training them how to do to increase the police force, to increase the police state, to bring it in at a slow pace so that people don't really notice it until it's too freaking late.
Hey, Rick, what do you think? With education on the Constitution, is that going to help? Or can we do that? Will that help? What will help, you know?
I think it's helpful, but I think it's much more difficult than that. I do think it's vital. In fact, our founders thought it was vital. It's why they put in Article 6 of our Constitution, the requirement for all judicial officers and executive officers throughout the United States government, including the state governments, to take an oath to support the Constitution. And so every day we have people who mouth those words and actually give it no thought when they do so, and then proceed to work for government and then violate those rights that they swore to uphold because they don't know it, because they don't actually study or value it, and it's not taught. It's almost a relic, a tradition, instead of, you know, a sacred professional obligation. And so it would be helpful for people to know that, to know the Constitution. I think it should be a requirement. I think there should be, you know, not just a police academy that teaches, you know, how to subdue somebody with a taser or this, that, and the other, not just basic training for our folks that are in the military, but there should be an actual constitutional course, in my view, where people actually know the Constitution before they go into public service, because it's that important. But I do think that the challenge is greater than that. It really comes down to character and values. And you can teach somebody the Constitution, you can teach them the law, they can know it, and they'll still violate it if they can get away with it, as long as that's something that's acceptable. And in our society, I mean, the problem is so much greater. In our society, in my view, the vast majority of Americans, regardless of their politics, regardless of where they're at on the spectrum, do not actually value their constitutional rights. And so from that larger society, we're getting these people who go into government service, mouthing these words that are required but are treated like a tradition, so basically useless, and we're not getting the results that the founders and the citizenry expected from their government. There's a character issue. Public service, you know, Frederick Douglass said it's easier to build strong children than it is to repair broken men. So it's very difficult. Character is formed. It's challenging. I mean, if you were going to, it really comes down to parenting. But we're not getting children that go into our government service. We're getting people who are pretty much fully formed as individuals. So it's very challenging. But we need to have something in place. You know, we need to have standards is basically what we need to have. We have to have expectations and standards for our people in government. And yet Americans across the board have lost that, you know, their standards for those who are supposed to serve and protect them or represent them in government. We have all kinds of justifications for our elected leaders. Well, you know, people, the lesser of two evils, that's a common thing. Lots of justifications and rationalizations for people knowingly giving their authorization to people in government who are horrible and who they know are not good people and will not represent them in a good way. And yet people just expect that. And that same kind of thing is true also with police officers. When there's a shooting, you just see the people that come out and support an officer, regardless of what the video might show. We've lost our standards, and we need to find our standards, and we need to expect that our public servants actually uphold a high standard before we give them our authorization.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. You know, but it's a huge bill of goods. But you know, to me, it's kind of simple, right? You know, and you do it. we can, Alan does it, Doc does it. The character, yes, you can help kids understand and develop character and ethics as they grow. But standing up for what you know is right also builds character all around you in strange little ripple effects. I mean, you've been a ripple effect on, you know, many people. I know, Rick, because, you know, your time that you served with the military, you kept your mouth opened and you said what was important. And then you had a voice that actually, well, meant something because you were something in the military, right? And they might not have agreed with you, but they sure the heck would argue with you, you know, and you got your point across and sometimes you didn't. But it was standing up for the ethics, and so you did a good service while you were in the military, and I think that's the important thing. When you're faced with a challenging decision in your own life, that you make the right call, and then people see you make the right call, and then that has the chance of passing on ethics. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. How's your life going right now? You've been out of service for a while. What's you up to?
Yeah, it's been almost a year since I retired from the military. Life's great. I've got my own fights going on right now that I can't too much get involved with, but suffice to say, I'm still actively engaged right now using the legal system to defend this time the First and Second Amendments and also the 14th Amendment, but can't get too much into it. It's kind of a big battle, Professor Eugene Volokh, he actually asked if he could blog about my latest battle, so that should be coming out here before too long. You want to see what I'm involved in?
Yeah, I'm watching the Eugene Volokh video, and man, that's some interesting stuff. That's a crazy character. At first, I saw it on your Facebook feed, you know, as I was trying to figure out where the hell your head was, you know, and I'm like going, wow, this guy's really hitting the nails right on the head, and I'm going to have to finish, you know, looking into that. That's pretty crazy. Anyways.
Yeah, you did great work for America.
Yeah, I don't know who the heck he is, right? Can you tell me a little bit about him real quick?
He vlogs on, or actually blogs rather, for the Washington Post, and
really?
It's called the Volokh Conspiracy, he is perhaps the leading First Amendment scholar in the nation. So he is very actively engaged when it comes to violations of the First Amendment. So he does a lot of work. He has a law clinic, so students that help him out, that he teaches at UCLA. The guy is just incredibly smart, extremely well-respected. We'll be talking more about some of those First Amendment challenges and trying to tackle some of those issues here before long.
Yeah, it's fascinating because you tell me that he blogs for the Washington Post, and I'm not, you know, my facts are incorrect. I don't see a lot of good news coming out of the Washington Post. I wouldn't expect a person like that, from what I've seen, to be working with them. But maybe I'm seeing the world differently. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not.
It's crazy.
I'm not a real expert on the media or the Washington Post. I think he has full editorial control, and he was doing his blog before the Washington Post took it on. So. Maybe that's different. I'm not sure. I don't know a whole lot about the Washington Post other than I think Jeff Bezos owns it. But doesn't Radley Balco still work for the Washington Post?
I don't know. You know, I'm not that expert on the news either there, Rick.
Yeah.
You know, I try to be alive. You know, I do a radio show once a week and, you know, follow the shenanigans of the world and talk about, well, freedom and independence. You know, I like to talk about Texas independence. I really think that it would be a hell of a lot easier to restore a small chunk. You know, Texas was a nation, could be a nation. I think it's going to be really hard for the whole United States of America, corporate United States of America, whatever, to try to get on the same page because everybody's on different pages. And it worries me. But I do believe in leading by example. You know, all of us here on the show right now try to do that in our day-to-day lives. And a free and independent Texas could be a good example to the world of how a republic should operate. You know, it would be wonderful if we had a republic of the United States. You know, I know we might actually disagree on this point that, you know, the United States of America has a constitution, has all that, but we don't follow it, right? Maybe sometimes. We agree on that. Damn it. I was hoping you were going to tell me we followed it.
The thing is, the society, I think, kind of what you're describing here, is something that we should have. I mean, that's what the founders envisioned, is what you're talking about, it through federalism. You know, the states were supposed to be, independent states in large part, and the majority of the power that's vested by our Constitution is vested to the states. Our federal government was supposed to be limited, and our 10th Amendment made it clear that any power that wasn't given specifically to our federal government or denied to the states was reserved to the states. So it was supposed to be that grand experiment where the Republic of Texas, the state of Texas, could approach things one way, and the Republic of San Francisco, they can do things their own way, and then other states can do things in their own way, and we can see what works. And then it gives people in America a choice. If you decide that you don't want to live in a state that, maybe has a fiscal policy that you don't agree with, then you could move to another state. And it was supposed to be like that. Of course, now the federal government has become such a behemoth, and all of those limitations that are in our Constitution have been practically destroyed. And Americans themselves don't look to their states as being their primary government system, I think, by and large. Instead, they look at it, look to the federal government. And as a result, that, we don't have what was envisioned, I don't think.
Right. And I think a lot of it comes down to other people's money. They do things because, otherwise they're not going to get the money. You know, we have this problem here in Fredericksburg where I guess the feds inked a deal with Microsoft to ink a deal with the states and force computer control systems on the local governments and so forth, so they're all having to upgrade to Windows 10 and Office, whatever, rent to Office, and there's all sorts of money that they have to spend in order to get a whole bunch of money. So they're like, well, we have to spend a whole bunch of money to get a whole bunch of money, and if we don't, then we're not going to get any. It's all so tangled, and it doesn't need to be that way, but it grows like quick. That one concept, it started, I don't remember, the European Union, Rick. They started coming together, I guess it started in the mid-1900s, and it just kept going, right? They created the euro somewhere around 2000. And slowly but surely, they have created a house of cards that's insane. And the way that those poor folks, in Europe, I feel for them. They've been. What do you think about the European Union? Do you think much about them?
No, I don't. The United States of America sadly keeps my mind quite occupied with our own challenges, so I rarely venture outside the world of the U.S. I think you're right. The money is a big problem when it comes. Money conquers not only states. These politicians, whether they're local, they're federal, whatever, they're easily corrupted by power and money. I think it's just kind of the nature of the job for many of them. But it's easy for, those who have money to corrupt not only states to make the United States more federal and to lessen the power of states, but it's also that same money is used to conquer governments. Money is, it's like salt water. It's pretty corrosive stuff, and it's really kind of hard to defend against it. One of the silver linings I think we might see from the Trump administration is now you have people who historically, I think, would be more pro-federal government, now are starting to dabble with this thing, you know, the 10th Amendment. They're starting to flex state muscles, you know, in opposition to Trump. Now, whether those issues are good or not, you know, maybe we're revisiting, maybe the states and the people are revisiting their sovereignty somewhat, and maybe they'll start to push back against that federal overreach. The Paris Climate Agreement is one example where now you have governors, California, Washington State, other places that are starting to say, you know, hey, we're gonna exercise our state sovereignty and we're gonna you know, act in accordance with these climate agreements, which is a good thing that they should do that. But you know, why did they just start doing that now? I mean, did they not get the memo that they're governors of a state and that they don't need the federal government to hand them their marching orders? A lot of it, I think, is just politics and making hay and show, but maybe one of the silver linings will be that the American people will take some of their sovereignty back.
Yeah, that's interesting. I try to get my head around how that would actually happen and what kind of situation would cause a city council to say, well, I'm gone, or a state says, I'm gone. We're going to start over again. We're going to follow the Constitution. I can't figure out a scenario for that. Good thing that I can't figure out a lot of scenarios, so I guess there's hope in that. But one of the things they talk about is, an economic collapse, right? You know, the United States goes into some kind of chaos due to, you know, the unconstitutional money that we have. And, well, everything starts going south and there is no more Federal Reserve and so forth. And then what do we do with that? You know, that's going to be interesting. But the hope that, okay, there's this guy, and his name, he's with Freedom Texas, Tommy Attaway. And he wrote a book, and it outlines a path to restore a constitutional form of government. And in his book, he outlined, and I can't remember the name of the book. Hey, Dave, maybe you want to type that to me real quick. But in his book, he postulates, We Defy, there you go, We Defy, in his book, he says, well, all we need is a bunch of patriots or people that love the Constitution, a Constitution, move together in a small city and in a small county and put together a constitutional government and prosper. From the point of prospering, we multiply and slowly take over. Well, I guess you don't even have to take over a whole state, because if you're a constitutional county, the federal government going to come in and attack a constitutional county because it's following, you know, the rules? They might, you know. They might. What do you think, Rick? If there was a constitutional county and they didn't follow any of the statutory rules, you think the feds would? Go ahead.
I think maybe you're. I think this might have been the disagreement that you were alluding to before, and so we can get into that, I guess, after your commercial break.
Okay, I love a good disagreement. Republic of Texas Radio.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. at aroutfitting.com.
Nutramedical's New True Silver is a new angstrom silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or ionic silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, we're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, we got Rick Reinerson on the line, and hey, we might have just found a point of disagreement, which would be fun. Hey, Rick, where were we differing, and did I misarticulate it? What do you got?
Yeah, and disagreement is maybe too strong a word. I think, and I could be incorrect here, but I think maybe your view might lead more towards a secession type of view for Texas, whereas my view, I think going back to the original Constitution and just reinforcing a federalist society would be a better way to do that. And we're starting to see a little bit of that going on now. With states, as we were talking about previously. Another good example is, for example, in Washington State, my home state, we have a bill called SB 5176. And what this bill does is it recognizes that the federal government passed the NDAA of 2012, which provided unconstitutional, unlawful power to the President of the United States to use the military to arrest American citizens and lawful residents in America without charge or trial and hold them in military prisons here or abroad indefinitely. So absolutely tyrannical legislation, allowing a president on his say-so alone to use our military that we fund against us without any charges or trial and just put us in prison. Very similar to what FDR did in the 1940s. So SB 5176 recognizes that this is unlawful overreach, which President Obama lobbied for and then signed into law and then defended in court, by the way. And all three federal branches have spoken and said, good to go, green light on this totally unconstitutional federal power. SB 5176 is a bill in Washington State that would make it a crime for our public officials here in Washington State to assist the federal government in any attempt to use that power to arrest our citizens or lawful residents. And I think that kind of pushback to not cooperate and to even actively, try to repel any ability of the federal government to violate our Constitution, I think that is probably a better playbook. And the reason I think that is because I think secession comes with a host of problems. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I believe states absolutely have the right to secede. I think that the argument that's now taken for granted that came from the Texas v. White Supreme Court decision way back in the day is absolutely flawed. It's completely incorrect. I think states have the right to secede, but I don't think secession, and certainly not the violence that would follow, is the way to go. And I think, you know, your previous caller, Andy, he had some great comments, but I think this idea that, secession or violence, overthrow is somehow a solution is absolutely fatally flawed.
Yeah, I'm with you on that point. And I'm don't get me wrong, I'm shooting the numbers here, and I think that your numbers come up with the long shot, and if the inevitable is, well, I don't know what the inevitable is. The truth is, if you talk about states leaving the union, and you measure it in decibels, it's a freaking squeak, right? Yeah. You know, and going at the statutory way, man, I've seen the courts, and don't know. It's like they can go one way or the other. You know, and it's not necessarily, they call it bad law. So, man, I'm hopeful that you're right, but now what you're doing is you're passing statutory to uphold the Constitution. And that seems kind of funny, because I thought the Constitution was supposed to be common law. And then we get down a huge rabbit trail. You know, which one trumps which? You know, it's frustrating.
I was sitting in a
Rick.
Courtroom when the judge was asked, is this a common law court or a statutory court? And he answered a statutory court, but the court record shows that he did not say that. It shows that the defendant said it was a statutory court. So they can change court record. They can do anything they want. It's a statutory court. It's whatever game they choose to play, whatever day you're playing.
I'm not familiar with that whole discussion, but it is true. I mean, and that's, you know, it's a complicated problem. And just because somebody is wearing a robe and they're, you know, does not make them not federal government or government in general. Government gets it wrong. There is no magical, arbitrator that always gets it right. Corruption will find its way into anything. Power will find its way into anything. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to get into arguing about this method versus that method, or this versus that, because that's divide and conquer again, right? I like solutions. I like the fact that you've got this vector, and you know, I've got my vector, and maybe my vector is not having a vector. It's just I have a voice, and I want to say that people need to start behaving better. And then that starts with me and, everybody that's out there, you've got to do something. I do not want to get into a situation where Texas has a whole bunch of people and they go, we have a whole bunch of guns and let's go. And I don't want to see that. War is not the answer. Polarity is not the answer. Education is the answer. And that's one of the reasons I kind of liked what Eugene, how do you pronounce his last name?
Volokh.
Volokh. What he was saying, he was outlining the problem. And he was doing a really good job of showing what they're doing to us. You know, microaggressions and how they're hampering free speech. And wow, that was incredible. And so he's showing the solution is understanding and educating people. But I see that as a big, big, large amount of work. Big is the wrong word. And I guess... but, you know, he beats me. And so,
yeah, you nailed it. I mean, the one thing that's common in whatever, you know, quote-unquote solution or vector or approach we take on this, the one thing that is central and essential to any of them is going to be educating people. And that goes back to my previous comment where I think, you know, Americans, by and large, do not really care about their liberties. And until they do, until Americans remember what their birthright as Americans is, until they really think about these issues and see the value of liberty and see the value of having rights that are respected by government, until they see that, and until they want to defend the rights of those they disagree with, their neighbors, until they have that, none of these approaches are going to work. You know, Americans, we've been lulled into this complacency. We've got, a decent economic situation. I think it's mostly backed by debt. It's really not decent, actually. But for by and large, people have a fairly comfortable lifestyle, and they've got all of this media that's distracting them, and they don't think about these larger issues, and I think their values are askew. Until we remember what it means to be American, and we remember why the founders took such great risks to put our rights into our Constitution, recognizing rights that we already have by putting them into the Constitution. Until that happens, I don't think any solution is going to work. And we have our work cut out for us just to get our neighbors to remember, if they ever knew, what it means to be an actual American.
It is a lot of work, huh? And you're supposed to be retired. What are you doing working?
Unfortunately, by the time most people figure that out, they look around for someone to help them, and they're all alone, and they're coming to get them. It's happened through history again and again and again. The technology is just a little bit tired now.
Yeah,
one of the things that came to mind when you were saying that is, I think if I were to see it right now with the frame that I'm in from this show, one of the most important things that's happening right now is the battle of Trump versus CNN, because the media is trapped, for the lack of a better word, into a poor business model, first of all, if we want to just go that direction. And what they report on is what's popular. It's not the news. It's not anything else. So different things just get pushed under. They don't want to cover them. There used to be a thing with a stereotype of the newspaper man. He had a hat and it said press, and he'd, smoke cigarettes and drink and go hang bars, find out stuff, and then all of a sudden nobody really liked the media man, and so he was a rogue. But now a reporter is not a reporter. He's he writes, and then an editor hits it, then another editor hits it, and then they shelve it or tweak it to say what their narrative is for whatever reason. So as Americans are going through this Trump versus CNN thing that's being, pushed upon us, or maybe it's
presented to us on the stage.
Now, I don't know. It could be. Life's a stage.
Operation Mockingbird.
But maybe all those people in the media are actually questioning stuff and what's important. And like the NDAA, you're talking about the legislation that's trying to make it illegal for them to deal with the NDAA or cooperate in that illegal order. There was crickets going on when the NDAA was coming into play. Nobody really cared. It was like, it was just covered up. For some reason, it wasn't popular. And that makes me sad. I want to see more reporting on issues like that and going to the general public instead of what they're getting right now. I don't know, Rick.
Yeah, absolutely.
What they're getting right now is CNN. They control the majority of the sources of information that most people use and call information. Until that can be changed and this message that we're trying to get out can get out to a much larger audience, you know, it's with, like I said, it's true. A lie told often enough becomes the truth. When Fluffy the cat stuck in a storm drain is the most important news item in your city, then you know that you are being controlled, and there are other things going on that they're trying to hide. And control of the information is, it makes what forms and molds the world that you live in.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And it's even, you know, it's even more frightening today than just the fact that we have these media conglomerates that take marching orders, you know, or at least are very suggestible to the whims of those in government or in power positions. It's even beyond that to where, you know, we are actually being propagandized by our own government in the form of, you know, there are agencies and whatnot that use contractors to go out online. I would say, you know, the Internet is the battleground for information. And they go out and they actually impersonate, you know, random people to and go into these discussions to try to provide the illusion that most people actually favor whatever the pro-government anti-liberty stance is, whether it's you know, justifying you know, police abuse or justifying some new federal power, whatever it is. So when people get involved in these discussions, they see, oh, well, most people overwhelmingly think that this is okay. And at the root, again, you take all these problems and you take them down to the root, it's the individual and its character. And you and that individual, we have a tendency to want to fit in. We want to conform. We don't want to be different. And unless we're raised or life has made us, you know, comfortable with being different and very principled and secure in ourselves, you know, most people are going to be easily swayed by that. They don't want to speak out. They don't want to stand out. So, yeah.
Good people just want to live their life information, comfortable enough. Yeah. Good people just want to live their life,
right,
be comfortable,
people,
not bother everyone else.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I think that's true for many people. I do think there are other people, however, who have a strong desire to want to control other people in one form or fashion.
That's what I said, good people. Yeah, oh yeah, there's the control freaks, and that's what always gets in control. And that's why the government grows,
yeah.
And that's why it gets more corrupt, and pretty soon you're paying $800 for a hammer and $1,200 for a toilet seat.
Yep.
Ever try to get into
the
head of the person?
Rationalizing this, and they're not getting outraged, and they're not speaking out about these things. And that's why it's so important that, you know, the work that you guys do and others do to get this information out, to let people know that it's okay to actually have a traditional American viewpoint where we expect government to not be our savior and not to nanny us and to be limited and to leave us alone.
Yeah. Like the normalcy bias. Yeah, the normalcy bias is what gets everyone. Like you said, everyone's, even if they're struggling, they're comfortable in their position because it can get worse, but they don't ever think that it can get better. So they struggle along and they feel comfortable even though they're struggling. It's called a normalcy bias, and it's real hard to break that conditioning.
Yeah, and I do think it's ethics, but then even the person that's out on the interweb and, well, doing a job of being a disinfo agent, what is the character of that individual? What is his ethics? You know, he's doing a job. He might actually think that he's doing a job for good, right? Or maybe he's just very self-absorbed and he's doing a job for money. As he goes,
maybe he's living in next life, and he's not even in the real world. He's just all virtual. Who knows?
Yeah, chatbot, you know, AI, you know, that's all crazy stuff. But it could be. We don't really know where technology is, but we do know where we are right now, where we have a. I don't know where we're at right now. I guess I made that statement wrong, because I would know where we're at right now. If Hillary Clinton was president, I know we're sliding down the slippery slope and we're going really fast. Now, Donald Trump, okay, don't know where he's going, right? Does he stand for freedom and liberty? Does he, you know, he seems to do a lot of good stuff and a lot of, you know, what? You know, and I don't I don't agree with him on a lot of points, but it still leaves me, and maybe that's the wonderful nature of, you know, this presidency. You can't quite put your finger on it. You know, what do you think about Donald Trump lately? You know, he's got a lot of shenanigans, Rick.
I'm like a deer in headlights trying to figure out what is going on with Donald Trump. I'll be honest, I never thought there was any way he could get elected, but I was wrong, as it turns out.
Oh, yeah. Well, what a trip. Republic of Texas Radio, we'll be right back after the break.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
In the end, it all really does come back down to character and ethics. I think that's what I got out of today. That besides you seeing Eugene Volk, Volk, I don't remember. Go to the Volk chat room, Republic Volk. Go to the chat room, republicoftexasradio.chatango.com. You can see the video that I'm about halfway through, and the guy gives you a great understanding of where we're at, and allows you to communicate to your friends and family and internalize it. It's kind of interesting. But character is, it's a hard subject. We'll get into it as we go along on the Republic of Texas radio show, but we have very few minutes left, and I want to hand the mic back to Rick to say whatever the heck needs to be said. What do you got for us? Bring it out.
Yeah, you asked about Donald Trump, and again, he's an enigma to me. I think he is to many Americans. He's done some good things. You know, he broke with the Obama administration. At least his press secretary said that Donald Trump would not assassinate American citizens without charge or trial, unlike the Obama administration. You know, that's kind of a big thing when you think about liberty and when you think about what's good about government, what's bad about government. You know, do they support this tax policy? What's their stance on education? Oh, do they murder us? Well, that's kind of, you know, it's kind of a big issue. And so it's good to see that Donald Trump is has broken with Obama on that absolutely tyrannical and inexcusable policy that Obama had. On the other hand, Trump has some of the worst rhetoric I think I've ever heard from a president. So it's just the jury is totally still out. I think my sense is, and any guess I've made about Donald Trump has been totally wrong to date, but my sense is that he throws things out and just keeps things distracted, and almost like it's a smoke screen. And so it's probably going to be kind of hard to pierce that and see if he actually has a stance on anything, any operating values. You know, to try to sum him up is probably going to be pretty difficult.
Yeah. Well said. That whole thing with throwing a plate up in the air and then throwing a whole bunch of other plates, shoot the right one. You know, that's that could be.
Yeah.
But I still don't know if Donald Trump is playing checkers or chess. You know, what's your game, dude? You know, it's going to be fascinating to find out. Hopefully he doesn't. Is he an actor, right? Or is he some guy that wanted to be president and somehow he got to be president and now he wants to be remembered as somebody that made a difference? You know, he's already had his success in life. And, well, what if he just wanted to be president to see if he can go down in history as being a good guy? I don't know. I really don't know. Is it all controlled? I don't know either. But we're living in it, and some of us are actually
Jimmy
trying
Joe
to make
Fred
a
Bob,
difference.
Like I said, he ain't Jimmy Joe Fred Bob from down the street. He is part of the elite structure.
True. You know, but it doesn't mean that he's not trying to do the right thing. It doesn't mean that he is. You know, I don't know. I don't know. Character, again. Where is his character? Where's his ethics mind? I don't know. You can hear people
you think
that
one
that
person can defeat what now is being called the deep state, the secret government, the shadow government, whatever you want to call it. Do you think one person can actually come in and change that whole policy that's been developed over all these decades?
It's not just one person. It's you. It's Doc. It's Rick Reinerson. It's all of us. And yes, it's the Trumpulator, right? He's doing something. We're all doing something. Hey, thanks, Rick, for joining the show. We're going to have to bring you back. You know, we've had you off air for a dang long time. Interesting man. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, fellas. Always love it.
Okay. Hey, guys. Well, guess we'll talk to you next week. Love y'all. Have a good day.
Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendo. listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.